there are many shades of green when it comes to the environment and energy. Dark green tends towards a clean environment based on renewables, solar, wind, and biomass energy, whereas a shade that is light green tends towards a polluted environment using fossil fuels and other non-renewable energy sources. What shade of green are you? Welcome to Shades of Green Energy here on KOOP, Hornsby, Austin. Let's get to our guests. Spring break is over. School is back, but we were lucky to get three real exciting students here today to talk about a project they worked on together and a trip that they went on. And our guests are Stephanie Matas, Alex Brickell, and Andrew Tabayi. And I know I probably got them close.
Did you get any of those right?
I don't think so.
well, you know what? It's much easier. We'll have their names up on our site, but it will be much easier if I go by Stephanie, Alex, and Andrew. So we'll start with giving us a little bit of background on you. How did you get interested in renewable energy and end up in all together in the same mechanical engineering department? We'll start with Stephanie.
All right. My name is Stephanie, and I'm a fourth-year mechanical engineering student at the University of Texas. And I got involved in renewable energy when I actually went to study abroad in Sweden, and you're going to hear a similar story with both Alex and Andrew. When I was there, I was taking a lot of courses on renewable energy, and that heightened my interest. And then when I came back to Austin, I was awarded the Texas Solar Energy Society Scholarship.
Yeah.
And in that, I got to go to the Texas Renewable Energy Roundup in Fredericksburg and met a lot of people who got me more interested in the field. And so that's how I got to where I am now. That's mm-hmm. how I met John. And
yes,
we met, hopefully, to continue.
Yeah, we met on the car ride all the way out there. And we talked about renewable energy. Okay, so Alex, tell us a little bit about your background and how you...
I'm Alex. I started at UT Tyler in 2006, and then I transferred to UT Austin. And renewables, my first taste of renewables was in Stockholm with our two buddies here. And then after coming back and a little bit of decompressing, I actually started researching renewable biofuels for the solar and biofuel lab here at UT. Hmm. And that's kind of continued my interest in renewables.
Well, that's great.
Okay. And that's on algae-related?
Mm-hmm. So, algae biofuel production.
All right. Well, we might have to get more deep into that for as we go into the show. All right. And Andrew, tell us about you.
Cool. Definitely a similar story to Stephanie and Alex. I'm a fourth-year mechanical engineering major at UT. And I really got interested in energy on our study abroad in Stockholm, Sweden. Took a lot of classes in renewable energy there and sustainable energy and really liked the subject. And so right after Sweden, I actually had the opportunity to do some research in Spain with the Cervera Group, which is an applied thermal engineering group, studied absorption chillers for the summer. And right now I'm involved with a gas turbine research group.
Okay. Well, that's great. Well, it sounds like it's way too interesting, and I wish I could go back and be a student, a full-time student, and maybe that's a dream someday. We'll all go back and get our engineering degrees or second engineering degrees. Well, I think one of the interesting things that I saw was the commonality that you've already presented is this Sweden trip you had together. And maybe, Stephanie, you can tell us how it was a study abroad, but how did you all seem to get to the same program, same exciting program?
Well, in the mechanical engineering at UT, there's a couple of study abroad options which can give you credit towards graduating. And there were probably about four or five options. And then one of the options was Stockholm, Sweden. And in this one, it's actually the school that we went to is KTH. It's the Royal Institute of Technology in Stockholm. Mm. And the program that was offered there was a 2 years master program in renewable energy. That's all they focused on. Well, as a UT student, we were allowed to go in there and study that same program, but only for a semester. Mm. So in doing that, us three, we actually went down there together, and we took all the same courses. So that was very interesting, a lot of fun in itself, because we were able to work with each other and apply what we've learned at UT, but in projects, but also work with students from all over the world, Japan, Germany, Spain, Italy.
Oh.
So it was a great international learning experience, plus learning, for at least me, a lot about renewable energy that I really didn't have a good base of beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very interesting study abroad experience.
Yeah. Well, I guess I hadn't realized that it wasn't just an exchange program between the United States and Sweden. There were actually students from all over the country. And you know, Alex, can you comment on that? Where were some of the most interesting renewable students from? I mean, did you have some Denmark students there?
Actually, we had a few Denmark. We did have a couple Denmark, but Denmark is so progressive in their own universities that they don't recruit to Stockholm much. But just in my apartment alone, there were several people from Switzerland, Germany, Japan. Yeah, I think that's all in my apartment alone. That's, I mean, just in my flat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a really really great international community there.
Yeah, well, of course, poor old Japan could use some more renewables right now with all this. It's a really incredible disaster. Well, and from your standpoint, Andrew, what was the exciting part about this international program?
It's really interesting to see perspectives from all around the world regarding a sensitive issue like energy. People come from different backgrounds and different perspectives. Of course, the U.S. perspective is different than, on average, and in general, I guess, the European perspective compared to those around Asia, and then those in the Middle East and Africa. So it's really cool getting the entire picture and see where everyone's coming from and really forming a more defined opinion on your own regarding energy.
Yeah. Well, I guess for a lot of the other countries, it's a lot more important because they don't have the resources as far as money and the energy, so that they're coming at it from a lot more dire situation. Is that what you mean? That it's a lot more important to them, I guess, for looking for alternatives.
Yes.
Yeah.
Were there any countries that had a particularly striking different perspective to you that come to mind?
Maybe Alex and Stephanie can help me on this.
Yeah. This is a joint program, right? But you all have a joint biography, so go for it.
Yeah, I think the most striking thing for me was really it was kind of us versus them in a way. I feel like in the U.S., renewable energy engineering is still almost a fringe field. And over there, it's definitely I felt like everyone was much more on board, fully supportive of this is the way future for or the way forward for energy.
Pretty far ahead of us in some ways,
without a doubt.
Yeah. Are we viewed as kind of the oil, gas, and coal monger, and that we're maybe just doing it as a window dressing? Maybe the word is.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, we have to...
No, I guess it's not great.
The discussion is great.
But even on the social...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, even on the, like, just on a personal level, I mean, when I went over there, I was just even shocked at just recycling. I remember Alex laughing at me because we walked into our apartment and they had probably like 5 or 6 trash cans lined up on the wall, but each of them were, you know, aluminum, stuff that biodegrade, and like your plastics and everything, like totally separate. And I was just like, wait, you mean like as I'm doing this, I'm, you know, already organizing all my trash?
Now, is that everywhere or was that to make an impression on you guys?
Well, I think a lot of places around Europe, because I know it was the same when I went to visit a friend in Germany and her house had the same setup. And it just, for them, it was just second nature for them just to go ahead and recycle everything and try to be as friendly to the environment as they could. Whereas I went over there and I actually personally felt, I was like, oh my gosh, like at home, I don't do this.
Yeah.
And then, so it definitely changed my perspective when I came back.
Well, that's good. Sure. It is incredible that once it becomes embedded in somebody's mind or just part of the your daily routine, then you don't even think about it. So they were probably like, you guys don't do this over in the United States. I will say that I think Austin, at least with our recycling program that we have, is a lot more embedded in people's minds. I go to a party now and I say, well, where's your recycling can? Automatically, where you can go outside of Austin in a lot of areas in Texas and it's not the case. They go, well, we don't recycle here. Well, we have to take a little break here. That we're having a great discussion here with UT students, Stephanie, Alex, and Andrew. We'll come back and then we'll get a little bit more into your MASDAR project, which I'm excited to hear about in the next part of our show. All right, we're back. You're listening to Shades of Green Energy here at KOOP on your dial 91.7 FM, and also we're streaming to you at koop.org. We are talking today with three mechanical engineering students that happen to end up in the same place in a foreign exchange program. We've got Alex, Stephanie, and Andrew. So you were in Stockholm together, and you ended up having to do a project. And I guess I'll start with Stephanie. Tell me about the project that you all worked on together, that where there's a commonality here that we have.
Okay. Well, actually, there were two projects that we worked on together, and each project was a different course. So I'll go ahead and talk about one of them, and then I'll let Alex talk about another, and Andrew can chime in.
Good.
So the first project, we were actually doing consulting work for Vattenfall Energy of Sweden, and that was actually the actual power plant was in Uppsala, Sweden. And it was a waste-to-energy plant. And what we were trying to do was we were trying to reduce the amount of oil usage within the a power plant. And so we were trying to give them different techniques for energy storage. And one of the main ones that we were looking into was like thermal energy storage and aquifers. And there were a lot of different avenues we could go down. But the biggest, I think the biggest thing I got out of it, out of this project, was the fact that us three led a group of 24 international students in trying to come up with a solution to Vattenfall's problem. And we had to incorporate all different viewpoints and of energy from all over the world, and also we had to incorporate different students' work ethics from all around the world. It was definitely a huge challenge, but I think it was probably the best learning experience out of the entire study abroad trip, just learning about all the different cultures and how you can incorporate the cultures together, even when they might not necessarily like each other in the beginning.
And this is a real live consulting project, not just a theoretical thing. So they were actually put to use.
Yeah. So this would, like, if we actually... what we ended up coming up with was that their system that they currently have is the best fit for them at this point in time. But if we had actually come up with something that was better for the company right now, they would have implemented it.
Well, that's really interesting, because you'll find, and I've found in engineering, you can solve the technical problems fairly well and fairly consistently. It's all the people in the relationships that are important. And I think sometimes engineering... without a project like that, engineering schools maybe don't give you that experience. You know, you can sit behind a desk and calculate all your answers, but when you realize that you have to work with people on a big project, and that's what I learned specifically in MASDAR, that not only do you have to work with different people, but different cultures, which is what you experience. So that's real interesting and a great experience. So, Alex, you can tell us about the other project.
Yes, so the second project that we did was related to MASDAR, the green city in the United Arab Emirates that's being built right now. And basically, our job was to analyze the city as a zero carbon, zero net energy city, and try to build another model city somewhere else geographically with some financial constraints, some time constraints. And so our project specifically, we were assigned Cape Town, South Africa.
Oh.
And so we went start to finish and designed basically ground up a little city of 50,000 that would be carbon neutral. So we developed our energy usage plan, our waste plan, transportation. And that was with a group of five other international students.
Hmm.
So it's pretty...
Any from Africa?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So did you all get to pick Cape Town, or mm-hmm. was that – okay, so you could have picked a city anywhere in the world. And
it was a list. There was a list of about a dozen cities, and that was the one we chose.
So I'd imagine the challenges vary based on which city you picked.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah.
So what were the most relevant resources, Andrew, that were available in Cape Town? I know I was involved, as I told you offline, that I was involved in the Masdar project, and really – were limited because of the resources there were mostly sunlight, and we tried to find some geothermal deep wells that were for the energy. But what did you find in Cape Town?
We were pretty fortunate with the landscape around Cape Town. Cape Town's around the southern end of Africa, so you're surrounded by ocean on a lot of the fronts. So there's a lot of good wind energy available there, as well as looking at some of the weather charts that we had studied. A lot of sunlight coming through there also. So we had a lot of wind and a lot of solar energy as opportunities.
Okay, that's good. Well, that's probably the most important thing, to have a resource that's available for a renewable, all-carbon-free city. How about tidal? Were you close enough to tidal energy, or was that too far from the city?
We actually were right on the coast, but we didn't investigate too much into tidal energy because of the expense.
Yeah. Well, I know that the overall concept is headed – or mostly related to energy, but the other resources that you had to come up with would be water and, mm-hmm. and you know, clean air and everything. So what was the water source you were looking at, Stephanie, or did you not address that? Mostly you did energy.
No, we actually addressed the water also, and water was actually a big challenge because, yes, you are surrounded by an entire ocean, but the process of desalinating water takes a lot of energy and a lot of upfront cost to put in those type of plants. So it was very difficult, and that actually took up a lot of our energy demand in our project. But what we were looking at, in addition to water desalination, was dehumidifiers, because you're right on the ocean too, so you're going to have a lot of humidity. And we were also looking at rainwater catching, because they have a lot of morning rain.
Oh, they do. Well, that's a good that's an advantage. That's one thing they don't have at Masdar. Yeah. Masdar was real short on water as far as rain. So you were going to have rainwater catchment, and then to supplement that, you were going to desalinate ocean water, or was it the underground water?
It was ocean, and then we also had underground water as well.
That's the back, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's really exciting, and that was the biggest challenge, as among others, at Masdar, was the water. We were hoping to be able to desalinate the water from underground, pump it up, and either use solar or wind or some mm-hmm. renewable energy resource to convert it. But it turned out that the salinity of the water underground was four times ocean water. So if you can take a linear relationship, that means it's four times as much energy. We're just about out of time, and we're here talking with Alex, Stephanie, and Andrew about their interesting project at the University of Texas. So if real quickly, and I'll put this on Stephanie, if somebody's interested in either your projects or getting into this program, what would you suggest a student, how would they find out about it and investigate being a renewable energy engineer at UT?
Well, the best way would, one, to be, if they wanted to do the study abroad program that we did, would be to go to the engineering study abroad office, not the school study abroad office, but the specific engineering one. And they can get all the information on KTH University in Stockholm.
You have been listening to Shades of Green Energy, recorded live at KOOP 91.7 in Austin, Texas.